Backseat Box Office, episode number 175, for the weekend of January 24th through January 26th, 2014.
Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
We are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. How you doing, Art?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Hanging in there. Unfortunately, Elena is not here to join us, and we will miss her. But let's move on to how the box office did last week.
Okay.
So, at number one, to everyone's surprise, maybe just me, Ride Along opened at number one, with a gross of $41.5 million in 2,663 theaters. At number two, Lone Survivor fell from number one to number two with $22.1 million in 2,989 theaters. At number three, we have The Nut Job that opened at number three with $19.4 million. At number four, we have Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit from Paramount that opened at number four with a gross of $15.5 million. At number five, we have Frozen, that fell from number two to number five with a gross of $11.8 million. At number seven, because we have to go down to eight here, no one picked number six, American Hustle. So at number seven, Devil's Due with a gross of $8.3 million. And at number eight, August, Osage County from the Weinstein Brothers fell from number seven to number eight with a gross of $7.4 million. And that's as far as I need to go. So, Art, why don't you tell us how all of our participants did?
Okay, well, we had Cougar on coming in on top, which is going to earn him another little name in the hat for our contest. He went with Ride Along at number one. Good for him. Jack Ryan at number two, Lone Survivor at number three, Devil's Due at number four, and Nut Job at number five, getting him a total score of 17. Next up would be you, Jeff.
Okay, I'm going to try to read this under all the red ink that's all over my score here. Okay, at number one, I had Lone Survivor, so I lost 2 points there. I had Jack Ryan at number two, I lost 2 points there. Ride Along, I had at three, not having any confidence in Kevin Hart and Ice Cube, and boy, was I wrong. So I lost 2 points there. Devil's Due, what happened to the BD rule? Apparently that is, in the toilet, as it were, because I lost 3 points there, didn't even crack the top five. And at number five, I had The Nut Job, and that came in at three, so I lost 2 points there. So I got a very middling 14.
We're on a bell curve here. That is a near the top of the charts 14.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Lena. She put Jack Ryan at number one, much to her and my dismay. The Nut Job at number two, Lone Survivor at number three, Ride Along at number four, and August Osage County at number five, leaving her with a score of 11. And I did worse than that. I also had Jack Ryan at number one, and I was severely, severely let down. Mr. Chris Pine, what is he doing to me? Lone Survivor at number two, Devil's Due at number three, The Nut Job at number four, and Ride Along at number five. And I came in with 10 points.
Now, to be fair, you did get Lone Survivor right. You were just horribly, horribly wrong in all other four. Lena missed all five, but, I did too. And, going back to Cougaron, the only movie he got right was Ride Along, which is probably why he won. Okay, so let's talk about the leaderboard. Okay, now, I am somehow inexplicably in first place still with 19.3 points. At number two, we have Cougaron at 18.5. We have Tad at 16.5. We have Art at 15.5 in fourth. Lena in fifth with 14.3. Scuba Dave in sixth at 13. And then Nick in seventh with 12.5.
Yeah, he's tanking early this season.
Well, you can have a strong second half.
Yes, yes, you can.
Okay. So now that we're done with the leaderboard, why don't we talk about what happens in Art's House last week?
Yes, let's just go to the Art's House.
If we can do this without throwing up.
So, the Art's House. We had three participants in the Art's House. Me and you went with GBF, and we got nothing. Lena took Like Father, Like Son, which came in the top spot and got her another point. So she is now beating us 3 points to your 1 point to my still no point on the board.
Wow. All right, so I believe we're done talking about what happened last week. So let's talk about this week. And we have one movie coming out on wide release. We have I, Frankenstein. No reviews yet, so I can't really talk about the tomato meter just yet. Out of 32,924 Rotten Tomatoes users, though, 93% want to see it. So here's the description. Set in a dystopic... Is that right? Dystopic? Present where vigilant gargoyles yep. and ferocious demons rage in a battle for ultimate power, Victor Frankenstein's creation, Adam, played by Aaron Eckhart, finds himself caught in the middle as both sides race to discover the secret to his immortality. From the creators of the hit supernatural saga Underworld comes the action thriller I, Frankenstein, written for the screen and directed by Stuart Beatty, based on the graphic novel I, Frankenstein, by Kevin Grevioch, probably Greviou, and brought to life by a cast that includes the previously mentioned Aaron Eckhart, Bill Nighy, Ivan Strahovski from Chuck, Miranda Otto, Jai Courtney, Socrates Otto, okay, I'm getting in deep waters here, Mahesh Jadu, Caitlin Stacy, and Aidan Young as Victor Frankenstein. Thank you for not hiring any Americans. So yeah. Any other obscure? No, that's, I read the whole cast list. Good for me. Okay. So, you enjoy Underworld, Art?
You know what? I really did enjoy Underworld. I've seen all of those movies. So yeah, I saw the preview for this a couple of times and I am interested. I don't know that I'll make it out to the theater to see it, but it is a movie I would like to see at some point.
Yeah. It actually looks pretty good. As far as how it looks and everything. And, you know, I like Aaron Eckhart, so, but that's still not going to drag me to the movie theater. But I'll definitely, right. You know, I'll definitely watch it or it might have to go the Netflix queue. So, and, yeah, so that's our one movie in wide release.
Yep, slow week.
Yeah.
So that brings us to
picks.
Yeah, and you get to go first, and I know you don't mind.
I get to go. Yeah, I guess Okay, 14, I get to go first.
14, you get to go first, yeah. Oh, so much better than my 10.
Only in America. Okay. I really don't think that I, Frankenstein has that media push.
No.
To knock a certain movie at number one. So, Ride Along at number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, I'm going to put I, Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to knock Lone Survivor down one. So Lone Survivor 3, then Nut Job at 4, and then Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit at 5. And here's what I'm going to do for the Art's House pick, because I think I know what you're going to pick. So I'm going to pick, I am going to counter that move by going with Gimme Shelter.
Okay.
With Vanessa Hudgens, who just happens her name of her character is Bailey. So how can you go wrong there?
Yeah, you can't.
And her mom is played by Rosario Dawson, so you have two people named Bailey. So I'm all in on this one. I'm sure I'll probably get zero again, but, you know, what the heck.
Okay.
All right, Art.
All right, I also have no faith in Frankenstein knocking Right Along out of the top spot. So Right Along will stay there at number one, and I, Frankenstein, number two. I, on the other hand, am going to go with The Nut Job at number three. I'm going to push Lone Survivor down to number 4, and I'm going to keep Frozen at number 5. And I don't know what you thought I was going to put in my artist house. I know I am excited to see Knights of Badassdom, but that does not mean I am putting it anywhere near my picks.
Oh, man.
So I went with Run and Jump.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I thought, you know, it being the 40th anniversary, allegedly, of Dungeons & Dragons, that would have been the perfect tie-in to put Knights of Badassdom, but I guess not. Okay.
Okay. No. 40th anniversary, huh? That doesn't sound right.
Well, they said 1974.
1974,
that
okay.
That might be, you know, when that, I guess, the chainmail version first published. You know,
okay.
So
well, yeah,
the minis game, not the actual role-playing game. I don't know. There's probably a lot of people in the Midwest that'll tell me exactly where that where the facts lie in that, and I'm not getting involved.
No, I don't think anybody really knows.
It's a 40-ish anniversary. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, right. So anyway, moving on. We are. I am totally blanking. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. I wanted to say contact. You can get in touch with us and give us picks to participate in our little game here by calling us at 618-207-4794. You can go to the Backseat Producers web page and hit the little call me button and put your phone number in, and the website will call you and you can leave a message that way. You can post on the boards, or if you have any of our Twitter handles, you can get us there and we'll get your picks up and you will be participating. And just to remind everybody, we have a contest going. Top scorers for the week, if they're tied, or even if you're the lone guy, who's ever at the top gets their name thrown in the hat for a $25 Amazon gift card at the end of the quarter. So good luck to everybody. Let your friends know, and let's get some more people on this leaderboard.
Very good, sir. Very good.
So with that all said, what did you do with your past week? Anything interesting? See some stuff?
Sadly, last night I got through the first 20 minutes of Lincoln, and then one of the kids woke up, so I'll probably be watching that after we get done here. But I did watch two pilots that I've had on the DVR collecting dust. The first one was a show that was on Sci-Fi Channel, and the only reason I'm really watching it is because Ronald D. Moore is involved in it, and this is Helix. I watched the first episode. I'm not really a big Contagion story kind of guy, but it had some, you know, interesting actors, and I enjoyed it. I gotta see what happened to the monkeys.
Okay, I have not heard of this one.
The basic plot of it is that there is an Arctic station of 100 plus researchers. Then two people have died, and one is near death from a virus that they don't know what it is.
Okay,
and
interesting.
So they send a CDC team plus an army engineer to go check it out and find out what happened. And Billy Campbell is the lead doctor, if you remember from Rocketeer. And,
right.
You know, he's knocked around on some other movies, that kind of stuff. And his brother is the third guy who's infected.
Okay.
And the other pilot I watched was Almost Human.
Ah, okay.
To me, this show has a lot of promise, and there's a lot of ways they can go with it. I like both of the actors that are the leads. And also has Lily Taylor as the lieutenant in the police department, which is a different way to go. Not what I was expecting. But yeah, it looks good. I'm way behind because I think there's about 6 or 7 episodes. There's 6 or 7 episodes into the season.
Yeah.
And I saw the first one, and I saw the first 5 minutes of the second one. So I'm definitely going to be catching up on that, especially since Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a rerun tonight, I think.
Yes, it was.
I'm also caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. Are you caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I am caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yes.
Okay. I'm going to try to avoid spoilers a little bit, but What did you think of the resolution of Tahiti? Even though it's a partial resolution.
It is a partial resolution. I liked what they did. I didn't have any problems with it. I was surprised at it wasn't any of the things I thought it was. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I'll agree with that too. I was a little disappointed. But, you know, maybe we'll talk about it when we get further down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me see. Talk about Almost Human. Talk about Helix. That's about it. But I did, on DirecTV, there is a channel called Screening Room. And it's basically just, they show all the trailers for all the things that are on demand. And I saw a trailer for this movie that looked interesting. It's called Adult World. And so it has Emma Roberts as someone who wants to be a poet. But poets don't make a lot of money.
Right.
And I guess to further her career, she wants to find a mentor. And I guess there is a award-winning poet played by John Cusack.
Oh, so now I'm interested.
So, yeah. So now you have, first she's trying to, you know, prove her worth to be kind of like her apprentice or a mentee, I guess. But her dad's, you know, all over about, you know, you got to start paying some bills around here. You need a job. So she breaks down and gets a job at a sex shop run by Cloris Leachman. So it looks very, you know, romantic comedy, kind of thing. I never heard of this movie, and I don't know if, you're going to see any commercials for it or what have you. But if you get the chance to check it out somewhat cheaply, I would, check it out and let me know what you think, because it looks interesting to me, and you know I love John Cusack.
I am a big John Cusack fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very interesting. I will look into that.
Okay, Art, what did you watch?
I all caught up on S.H.I.E.L.D., all caught up on Elementary. I am really, really digging that show. I've watched another episode of Sherlock, and I think honestly I like Elementary better.
And why do you think?
What else? I don't know. I just like kind of their spin on it, you know, setting it in the States and, you know, making John Joan, the supporting cast, the people they interact with, you know, on a regular basis, the captain of the department he's working with, one of the main detectives that they interact with often. I just like this cast of characters that they're really developing the characters. You know, it's not all I don't know. I like the way they're interacting, the way they're changing the characters up, the way they're allowing the characters to grow. I like the setup a little bit better. I'm not calling Sherlock a bad show. I'm just calling Elementary a better show.
Oh, okay, good.
Trying to think what else. I'm still desperately trying to catch up on Sleepy Hollow. I think I'm about four episodes behind right now. But I'm still really enjoying that show as well. I have not seen any movies. I take that back. I've seen a lot of Barbie. Barbie is my daughter's new obsession.
All right, so how many hours have you logged of
Barbie? Let's see. There is a Barbie movie, and there is this, I think they're half-hour or hour-long episodes on Netflix, and I've seen each episode multiple times. I want to say in the last 2 weeks, I've probably logged about 10 hours of Barbie. But I think that's about it for watching. The rest has been television. Watched, what is my new favorite? Darn it. I saw it and I absolutely fell in love with it. And now I am totally blanking on what it was. Some new reality show. I'll catch it again and then I'll let you know.
You know, it's funny you talked about watching a show with your daughter that I think my daughter's getting to the age. Well, you know, I have the first season of Buffy that I want to show her, but I think it might be, you know, she might be a little too early for that. But I did start, we did start watching a show together. Do you remember Roswell?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if she was going to like Roswell. And I knew the hook was going to have to be that she's got to find the guys cute, or it's right. No deal.
No deal, yeah.
And I wasn't sure about the two, but my concerns were quickly, sent to the side because she said, I love this show. The guys are so hot, even though the one guy needs to fix his hair. So we're two episodes in, and she was really upset that we weren't able to watch it tonight, so we're going to have to watch it tomorrow night. But she's enjoying it. And it's funny is that was a gift. I didn't go out and buy it. My wife bought it for me a long time ago because we used to watch it back when it was airing.
Right, right. Very cool.
And it's, you know, it's just weird seeing Katherine Heigl, you know, then and now.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, and you know, what's funny is there was an aha moment when we saw executive producer Jonathan Frakes.
Oh, nice. I did not realize.
Yeah, he actually appears in the pilot for 2 seconds because there's a big dance at the end of the episode, and they instead of dropping the ball like they do at New Year's Eve, they crash the flying saucer. And he's all, right. 3, 2, 1, crash. Yeah, that kind of thing. So, and, you know, it's funny, I watched it, but I have no memory of what actually happens. So, you know, episode 2, Julie Benz shows up as the geometry teacher, even though she doesn't know anything about geometry. So, so yeah. You know, I describe it to my coworkers as, sci-fi Dawson's Creek. So, we'll see how long my daughter is interested in it. All right, since I think we've both talked about what we watched, now we can move to news. Art, what do you have for us, sir?
Okay, well, first things first, Brittany was really excited to hear this. We talked about it a little bit before we started the show. Alice in Wonderland 2, now titled Through the Looking Glass, and they are in talks with Sacha Baron Cohen to be the lead antagonist, and they've got Depp back, and they've got, what was her name, Mia, I'm drawing a blank, Wasikowska, anyway, the girl who played Alice, they're both back,
okay,
yeah, and a little piece of information I picked up in this article that I didn't realize is that the Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland made $1 billion worldwide at the box office.
Oh, my God. That is a bucket load of money.
Yeah. So why wouldn't they make a second Alice?
Or a third or a fourth.
Right. But this isn't slated for – this is slated for a May 2016 release. So that is a long way off.
Interesting.
What do you got, sir?
Okay. Probably heard this already, but J.J. Abrams confirmed Star Wars Episode 7 script is complete. Doing my heart good, long-awaited sequel will not be shot in IMAX. That way, because it doesn't say 3D. Well, anyways, maybe that's not good news, because IMAX, that is a damn big screen. All right. So they're full steam ahead. So now we can get into, in the future, rumors about who's going to play whoever. And from what I understand, the original screenwriter left the project because he focused on, his primary focus was not the original, but the new characters that are going to be introduced in episode 7.
Right.
And JJ wants to involve the big three. Han, Leia, and Luke as kind of a farewell to their characters as far as the series are concerned. So it's due for release in December 2015 and will be set after the events of Return of the Jedi. So there's that, and we'll keep an eye out if we hear anything else about Star Wars Episode 7. Okay. So, Art, what do you have next?
Okay, well, speaking of Sherlock just a minute ago, a Sherlock movie is not out of the question. Now, here's what I really don't understand about doing a Sherlock movie. Have you ever watched Sherlock?
I haven't watched the...
I'm talking about the BBC.
BBC,
Benedict Cumberbatch, Martin Freeman. Yes.
I have not. The only Sherlock that I've watched is I saw the first Robert Downey Jr., Jude Law version.
Okay. So here's what I don't understand. All right. Sherlock is, from what I understand, they're in their fourth season. I've only watched a few episodes in the first season. The seasons are very short. 4-5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
The episodes are an hour and a half to 2 hours long. They're already a movie length episodes. So it's like watching a little movie every time you sit down and watch one of these shows. So I don't get why they're talking movie. Less censorship, maybe? Releasing to a theatrical audience instead of on the television to try and maybe make more money? I don't know. But so that's it. They're in talks to do a Sherlock movie.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, it's always fascinating about how they lay out their seasons and episodes, because that was something that I discovered with Coupling, the show that I watch on BBC America, that seasons were, like, the first season was like 5 episodes. Yeah, and, you know, like you said, if Sherlock's at an hour and a half to 2 hours, now is that with commercials or without commercials?
You know what? I don't know. Okay. I know that's, they call that the length of the, they call out the length of the movies, but I've only watched it on Netflix. So I watch it without commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pay attention to how long it was.
Yeah, I mean, if somehow maybe they're going to make more money by doing a feature as opposed to, you know, just continuing with the shows, or, you know, if there's a DVD angle, I don't know. Or, we'll have to keep an eye out for that one. Okay. Speaking of scripts, there is another script that is completed, Fantastic Four. So it looks like, obviously the script is complete, so now we can concentrate on who's going to be, Mr. Fantastic, the Invisible Woman, Human Torch, and the Thing. They're throwing around Miles Teller. Also, two Game of Thrones actors, Kit Harington and Richard Madden.
Okay.
For the Invisible Girl, Kate Mara and the Saoirse Ronan or Saoirse. What movie was she in? I can't remember. All right, let's move on. And Michael B. Jordan is going to be play Johnny Storm. So. There's that. If you're excited about Fantastic Four, I'm hopeful because Matthew Vaughn is producing this. I don't know why he left Days of Future Past. But I think he had, you know, he I think he does a great job between Kick-Ass and, X-Men First Class.
Yeah, I think hopeful is a good word, because I don't think anybody is excited about the Fantastic Four at this point.
Yeah, I think the last two Fantastic Fours, you know, probably did a lot of damage public wise. So, you know, so unless you had Fantastic Four under ruse, I don't know if you're that excited about.
Right,
Fantastic Four. All right, Art, what do you got?
Okay. Now, I only just found this just a little bit ago, so I haven't really done any research into it, but I think this is a little more in, I'm not going to say this is in your wheelhouse, but it's not something I really pay attention to as much. 10 directors who should helm Marvel's Doctor Strange.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into the entire article and the reasons why and blah, 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 blah. I just want to read you these names, and I want to see if you recognize any of them.
Okay.
I've gone through the 10 names. I think I recognized one, because I don't really pay that much attention to these types of things.
Okay.
Neil Berger.
Nope. Drawing a blank.
Nothing. Okay. Joe Cornish.
Yes. Joe Cornish. I heard the name. I just can't place it right now.
That's okay. Attack the Block.
Yes. Okay.
Link to the Director's Chair for Die Hard, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Star Trek III.
Right. He was supposed to be the one for the next Star Trek. Okay.
All he
right.
is yes. writing Ant-Man with Edgar Wright. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Panos Cosmatos.
No, unless he did. He was involved in Mamma Mia and some.
No.
Capacity. Oh, okay.
No. These are just their names they're throwing out there, and I don't think they're names that people are particularly familiar with.
Okay.
But you've already got one, so you're one okay. up on me.
Okay.
David Gordon Green.
I almost was going to say he was 90210, but that's Brian Austin Green.
Yes.
Okay.
That's okay. Adrian Lynn.
Nope. Next.
Okay. Okay, here's one. Sorry. This one I did know. I forgot about. He was on the list. Keanu Reeves. Really?
Really?
Really. I don't see that happening.
Me neither.
Rupert Sanders.
Negative.
Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Tarsem. T-A-R-S-E-M. I'm imagining he's some foreign...
No.
Yeah, no. Ben Wheatley.
Nope.
And last but not least, Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, you gotta know him.
Right.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
So one guy on the list I actually knew, and he was in the 10th spot. They put him all the way to the bottom of the list.
Yeah, because I don't think that they've, you know, brought in like a higher gun kind of guy like Zemeckis.
Yeah.
Marvel's always wanted to go, I guess, you know, cheaply. I mean, that's why they, you know, Favreau lobbied hard to do Avengers, but they decided to go with Joss because he was going to cost them less.
Right.
At least that's what, you know, what I've read.
That's what they said.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, continuing on the Marvel theme here. No Stan Lee cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That is disappointing.
Okay, now, you have any guesses on why he's not going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy?
No clue.
Okay, directly from the article. Today, Dweebcast asked Stan Lee about the upcoming Marvel movies and his cameos. One Marvel movie he won't have a scene in will be James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy. No, I'm afraid not. That's the one group I didn't create. I didn't create Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not even sure who they all are. I can't wait to see the movie.
Okay.
So apparently this was past his run, and probably has something to do with why he was in all the other ones.
Okay, so it's not
the ones.
It's not a slight against him. He's just not as tied into it.
Yeah, you know, it almost makes you wonder if he has if there's a legal right or if it's a privilege to be in the movie because of his negotiation or something like that. That maybe, Marvel doesn't want him in, but it was something that they agreed to for some type of settlement or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what? Everybody loves seeing him in the movies, so I don't know why they wouldn't, you know?
Yes.
You're always watching the movie. Okay, where is he going to pop in? Because he just popped in on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're always looking for that Stan Lee cameo because he's got such a strong personality and he just really pops, you know, even for the short time that he's on the screen. You know, I liked watching in the 90s, you know, when he was doing the intros to some of the Marvel cartoons,
mm-hmm.
you know. Greetings, true believers.
That's right.
You know, he did a little intro and I loved it. So I am less upset about that news, seeing as not a slight to him. It's just a, you know, it's more of a thing where he's like, yeah, I didn't create those guys. I'm not in that movie. That's cool.
All right. Art, you got anything else?
I got one more. And this was a misleading title. I have since dug into it just a little deeper. Transformer producer connects Age of Extinction to Star Wars. I thought this was going to be very, very bad. instead, it was just a comparison to the Age of Extinction kind of rebooting the franchise, moving on with new characters, to the way the prequels kind of, you know, went back far enough that, you know, you weren't dealing with any of the same actors. You were dealing with, you know, some of the same characters, but just in such a vastly different time period that it just wasn't the same type of movie. So that was the connection he was making. So it's not a reboot. It takes place in the same world. So everything that happened still happened. It's just focusing on different characters. So I can't wait to see where they go with it.
All right, cool. All right, my last story. And it's not so much that it's 100% relative to the show, but sometimes you just want to read this story so you can say the words. Ed Helms and Kevin Hart slip into DreamWorks Animation's Captain Underpants. Are you familiar with the Captain Underpants series of books?
I am familiar with the Captain Underpants series of books.
So it looks like they found their cast. So Ed Helms and Kevin Hart will provide vocal talents for the big screen adaptation of Dav Pilkey's popular children's book, penned by the Muppet screenwriter Nicholas Stoller. They will be joined by Comedy Central stars Nick Kroll and, wait for it, Jordan Peele, as well as by Thomas Middleditch, who recently played a goldfish rearing stock trader in The Wolf of Wall Street. So the movie's basically about centering on the adventures of two mischievous fourth graders, voiced by Hart and Middleditch. Things quickly spiral out of control when their favorite superhero, Captain Underpants, magically springs to life from the pages of a comic book. Helms voices the boys' power-mad principal, Mr. Krupp. Peele plays their geeky nemesis, Melvin. And Kroll takes on wretched supervillain, Professor Poopy Pants. So, apparently there is 8 Underpants books that have been published in 19 countries. So, this is something that I know the boy will be looking forward to.
Yeah, I've seen the books. I've never read any of them. I have no real experience with them, but the titles are certainly funny and the characters' names are certainly entertaining. I can't see what they do. Nick Kroll, he is one of the guys from The League, right?
Ruxin.
Ruxin, yeah. Yeah.
So he's the guy married to, I just blanked on her name. It's not important.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a funny guy, you know. If you ever checked out Kroll Show, he does a lot of different characters. He does Bobby Bottle Service, he does Chupacabra.
I just saw a preview for that tonight. That's why I was able to say that's the guy from The League. So yeah, it does look pretty funny. I'm going to have to go check that out.
And that's all I had for news.
That is all I've got for news.
All right, well, we've reached the end. So to everyone out there, thank you for downloading and thank you for listening. And if you have not participated before and you just listen to us, please send us picks because you're missing out a chance to win something. So send us picks because we'd love to hear from you guys.
Yep.
So thank you, everyone. And Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, and we will catch you next week.
Go watch a movie.